Have you ever wondered how God desires for you to handle people who have wronged or harmed you in some way? Then don't miss Gloria Copeland as she shares the godly reaction next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. I'm glad you're here today on The Believer's Voice of Victory. We're finishing up our 24 things to keep us in the will of God from Romans 12. So in Romans 12, in the Amplified Bible, today we're going to verse 20. We're getting very close. Yesterday we said, Beloved, never avenge yourselves. Leave the way open for God's wrath. So here we are today at 23, and it is, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. This will help you stay in the will of God. Have compassion. Bless your enemy. When you bless your enemy, it blesses you. Bless your enemy. We read yesterday to forgive, to repay no one evil. I think it was yesterday. Repay no one evil for evil. And to bless, to live at peace with everyone, and never to avenge ourselves. And so today, number 23 is do good to your enemies. God's taking us a step further. We're growing up. We're going to actually do good to our enemies. Hallelujah. It says in verse 20 in the Amplified, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. But if he's thirsty, give him drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Remember what the scripture, let's look at Proverbs 25, 21, and then we're going to look again at love. We've read it once during this teaching, but you know, you should probably read it every day in order to walk in it. 25, 21. It says in Proverbs 25, 21, let me see if I'm looking in the right place here. Yep, 25, 21. If your enemy, it repeats what Romans says. Roman repeats actually what Proverbs says. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. So, you know, we can learn from this that even we have to walk in love even toward our enemy. Not just those who persecute us, but toward our enemy. We have to feed him and give him food to drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire upon his head. And here's the good part. The Lord will reward you. When you do good to your enemy, you put yourself in a position for the Lord to reward you. Isn't that something? You know, we think, well, you know, we would like to do bad to our enemy in the natural. But no, God says do good to them, and he will bless us. So it's a blessing to do good to your enemy. Thank you, Jesus. That is number 23. Do good to your enemies. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians. We're going to read this again. We read it earlier, but let's look again at the love of God. We're winding down today. We've only got two things left here. So we've covered 22 things already. Now 1 Corinthians 13. This is our law. This is really, if we don't keep this, we're not obedient. If we're not obedient, we're open to the darkness to come in one place or another. So let's read again, and we're going to read it slowly. We're not in any hurry today because we've only got a couple of things here. But this is the love of God, and the Amplified to me says it the best of any version. Verse 4, 13:4. Love. Love is our law. We're to walk in love. Our actions are to be in love. Our words are to be in love. It is our commandment. If we don't keep love, we're disobedient. But then the Bible teaches us that if we keep the love commandment, we keep all the commandments. So this is the shortcut to knowing what God's will is for us where other people are concerned. And it helps me so much. It has helped me so much and still does. We should probably, you know, if you have a problem walking in love, if you have a problem with these things, it would be good to every day go over these scriptures. It's 13, 1 Corinthians 13, starts with verse 4. The Amplified Bible says, love endures long and is patient and kind. There's the force of patience, the fruit of the Spirit. Love endures long. Love is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love is never envious, nor boils over with jealousy. So love is not jealous. It's not envious. It is not boastful or vainglorious. Does not display itself haughtily. So let's just say you're believing for a new car. You're going to church one day, and you've been believing for a new car for quite a while. And up comes brother so-and-so or sister doodad, and they have a new car. And you're still driving the old clunker, and you've been believing for a new car. Love is not jealous. What does love do in that position? Love does not get irritated the fact that sister or brother, doodad, whichever one it was, has a new car. You know what? Love is glad. Love is glad because somebody's got a new car. I have a friend who's a minister, and he said that he and his children were at Disney World or Disneyland, one of the places, and the lines can be very long there. So they went in to eat their lunch, and he said they were in this long line, and they would see people come by with food on their tray. And he said, now, we didn't get aggravated at that people were getting food. We felt like the line is moving. There's food up there. They've got food. All we have to do is stay in this line, and we will get food. I thought that was a great way to say this. If somebody gets a new car, just think, thank you, Jesus, the line is moving. I'm believing for my new car. Thank you for my new car. Thank you for giving Sister Doodad a new car. Thank you, Lord, that she got that car. The line is moving. So we rejoice when others receive. Hallelujah. That's the love of God. Love rejoices. Love endures long. It is patient and kind. It's never envious, nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious, and it does not display itself haughtily. It's not conceited. Love is not, God's love is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It doesn't think to itself, I am somebody come. I am somebody important. Everybody should look up to me. That is not love. Love is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude. Love has good manners. It is not rude. It is not unmannerly. It does not act unbecomingly. So love wouldn't lash out. It wouldn't get angry. It wouldn't get mad. Love doesn't do that. It does not act unbecomingly. Love acts well. Hallelujah. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. This is a wonderful marriage revelation right here. Love, the love of God. You know, I don't know why it is, but it seems to me like opposites attract, and then they get married. And then they have to learn to live together. Ken and I were extreme opposites, but now after 45 years, we're a whole lot more alike. Why? Because we learn to live together, and we learn to walk in the love of God. So love does not insist on its own rights or its own way. Love, we know, is quick to forgive, quick to cover. Love covers, the scripture says. It is not self-seeking. Oh, this is the marriage scripture right here. This is it. It is not touchy, fretful, or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. Remember Billy Brim's story about the cornbread? She was learning from Brother Hagin about walking in love. She wrote all the scriptures down here about, in this chapter 13, about walking in love. She put it on the inside of her cabinet in her kitchen. And at that time, she was a working mother, but she had a house full of children, and she came home and a husband, and she cooked every day. I'm telling you, she was a busy woman. So here she's been working all day, and it's a rainy day, and she's in her kitchen, and she's cooking, and she's made a big pot of chili. And I hope I get this right. If I don't, I'm sure I'll hear from Billy, but this is the way I remember it. And so she's got the chili made, and she's got some crackers for the chili, and it's cold outside, and she's walking in love, and she's doing this for her family. And her husband comes home, and he smells the chili, he looks at the chili. She shows him what she's got for supper. He says, "It's raining, it's cold now. She's been out working all day herself. She's home now, feeding her family." He says, "Where's the cornbread?" She thought she was doing pretty good to have chili. And he wants to know, "Where's the cornbread?" "Well, darling, I have crackers. I don't want crackers. I've got to have cornbread with my chili." So Billy says, oh, it flamed up in her, you know. She said she walked over to the cabinet. She opened the cabinet door and she said, "Love is not touchy, fretful, or resentful. Takes no account of the evil done to it." So she closes the door. She goes back to her husband and she says, "I will go get the things to make." She didn't have the stuff to make the cornbread. She said she was out of that, so she was going to have crackers. "No, that won't do. We've got to have cornbread." So she got a grip on herself. She said, "I'll go and get the meal," or whatever it was she didn't have. She got back. She made the cornbread. And she said she kept that in her little kitchen. And every day when she was tried and pressed upon, she would turn over to that scripture and she would walk in love. And you know, that's about as good a description of what it takes as I've ever heard in my life. That's exactly what you do. You keep this at the forefront of your thinking. Now, love is our commandment. If we walk in love, we are going to be obedient in every area. It's the shortcut. It's the, you know, if you got this right, you'd have all the things right. You wouldn't be, love doesn't murder somebody. Love doesn't commit adultery. Love does not steal. You'd have all the Ten Commandments. You'd have the everything the Lord told us to do as far as our personal actions. It's not touchy or fretful or resentful. And, you know, so you learn to live together and you learn not to be touchy or fretful or resentful. What does that mean? That means that if I get mad at Ken and I stay mad over a few seconds, I am in disobedience and I'm out of love. Yeah, you said, but you don't know what he did to me. You don't know what she did to me. She aggravates me so bad. Love is not touchy or fretful or resentful. You can't get around it. There's no excuse. No matter what somebody does, love is powerful enough to hold fast and not be touchy or fretful or resentful. It's never rude, it says. It does not insist on its own rights or its own ways, for it is not self-seeking. It, the love of God, is not touchy. You can't wear your feelings on your sleeve. Not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account. Say no account. It takes no account. I didn't write this. God wrote this. It takes no account of the evil done to it. Pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Does that mean that you can't get your feelings hurt? Exactly. It's not scriptural for your feelings to be hurt. Why? Because if your feelings are hurt, then obviously you haven't forgiven. If you've forgiven, you freed that person of that thing that they did to you. Now, I know this is tough, but this is where the rubber meets the road. If you want to walk in the will of God, you've got to walk in love. It does not insist on its own rights or its own ways. It's not touchy, fretful, or resentful. Now, when I began to learn these things, and I'm sure when Ken began to learn these things, we were like Billy in her kitchen. We had to not be touchy. I mean, if we wanted to get our feelings hurt, we had to come to grips. This is not the will of God for me. We had to not be resentful. I do something he doesn't like. He does something I don't like. So-and-so and so-and-so. We can't be resentful. We have to forgive. We're two different people. We're extremely different people. He sees things one way and I see things another, and we become more alike, but we're still different. But what do? We walk in love. We're not touchy or fretful or resentful. We're quick to forgive. Love takes no account of the evil done to it, pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love, here's how powerful it is, bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are faithless under all circumstances. Love endures everything without weakening. Love, verse 8 says, love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. That's how powerful the love of God is. That's been shed abroad, the Bible says, in our heart. So we do good to our enemies. Love never fails. Look at Luke 6:35. I don't think we read this, did we? Luke 6:35. Kind of all runs together after a while. Love your enemies. Oh, you mean we have to love our enemies? We have to do good to our enemies? Love your enemies. Not just your wife or your husband or your children or your boss, but your actual enemies. So obviously, that leaves nobody out. From your wife or your husband to your enemies, we are told to love. That's our commandment. We have that power in us. We have the love of God, Romans says, shed abroad in our heart. Love your enemies and be kind and do good, doing favors so that someone derives benefit from them, and lend, expecting and hoping for nothing in return, but considering nothing is lost and despairing of no one, and then your recompense will be great in heaven. Hallelujah. Love your enemies and do good. Isn't that amazing that we have that kind of power in us in the new creation? So, let me see. Check this scripture out. We looked at Proverbs 25:21. We looked at that. If your enemy's hungry, give him bread to eat. If he's thirsty, give him water. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord will reward you. The Lord will reward you. So when you do that, it's not all a loss. When you do that, you're setting yourselves in position for the Lord to move and to reward you because you kept the word of God. Luke 6:35. We may have read this earlier in this study. Like God, it says. Let me see this one. Maybe that's Luke 5. Luke 6:35. But love your enemies. We talked about that. Love your enemies and do good. Glory to God, and God will bless you. Now, verse 24 in Romans says, look at Romans again, Romans 12. This is the last one. This is the 24th thing in this chapter. It says, overcome evil with good. Is that a powerful statement? Let me read the whole verse. Do not let yourself be overcome by evil. You know, that is a direct order. A direct order. Don't be overcome by evil. But overcome or master evil with good. Glory to God. That is what we're told to do. We're not to be overcome, but we are to overcome evil with good. Bless the Lord. We don't have to be under evil. We have power to master it with good. Hallelujah. With the love of God. Love never fails. Love's the most powerful thing in the universe. God's love is the most powerful thing in the universe. We never have to come up short. Let's look at 1 John 5. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, we would walk in such victory if we keep these commandments and do them. Keep our commandments. 1 John 5:4 says, for whatever... Well, look, it talks about love. For the true love of God in verse 3. Let's look at one. We've got plenty of time left. Everyone who believes, adheres to, and trusts, and relies on the fact that Jesus is the Christ, is a born-again child of God. That's what you have to believe, is that Jesus is the Christ, and you receive Him as your Savior. And everyone who loves the Father also loves the one born of him, his offspring. So, you know, that person that did you wrong is a child of God, possibly. You have to love him. He's the offspring of the Father. He's got a father like you've got a father. By this we come to know and recognize and understand that we love the children of God. When we love God and obey his commands and orders and charges, when we keep his ordinances and are mindful of his precepts and teaching, for the true love of God is this, that we keep his commandments. If it's easy to talk about love, but the true love of God is that we do what he says. We keep his ordinances and are mindful of his precepts and teachings. These orders are not irksome, burdensome, oppressive, and grievous. For whatsoever is born of God is victorious over the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, or that conquers the world, in the Amplified, even our faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. We keep his commands. We obey his precepts and teachings. Who is it that is victorious? I want victory in my life. I like victory. Hallelujah. Who is it that is victorious over, that conquers the world, but he that believes that Jesus is the Christ? Hallelujah. So we keep the word of God. We love. We have the power to love. We obey his precepts. We're born of God. We are victorious over the world. And if we'll walk in love, we'll be victorious in every area of our lives. Let's look at Galatians 5:16. Thank you, Lord. I am convinced. We have to walk in love. Look at 5:4. Galatians 5:4 says, if you seek to be justified and declared righteous, and be given a right standing with God through the law, you're brought to nothing and severed from Christ. You've fallen from grace. It says, let me skip down. I'm out of time. Look at 6. For if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love. Faith works by love. Hallelujah. In Galatians 5:16 says, But I say, walk and live habitually in the Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings of the flesh, the human nature of God. Verse 18 says, if you're guided by the Spirit, if you're guided by the Spirit, you're not subject to the law. And it gives the doings and the practices of the flesh. But verse 22 says, the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that is at work within you, in his presence within, what it accomplishes is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's a fruit of your reborn human spirit. All those things are born into you. It says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Glory to God. We live in the Word of God. We walk by the Spirit. We walk in love with one another. We're faithful to keep the commandment of love. I'll be right back.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and this is Dr. Don Colbert and his lovely wife, Mary. We just finished 2 weeks of broadcast in how to go from wherever you are to fullness of health, and you don't want to miss a word of it.
Be sure to mark your calendars for these special broadcasts.
We're going to act on number 15, I believe it was. He who contributes, let him do it with simplicity and liberality. He who gives aid and superintends with zeal and singleness of mind. We're going to receive our offering today. Hallelujah. And I'm going to pray over your finances. So either have your offering ready or determine in your heart what you're going to do, and I'm going to believe God for you. This says, remember this in 2 Corinthians 9, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. He who sows generously will also reap generously and with blessings. This is what's important about your giving. Let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purposed in his heart. So you listen to God and do what he says, and then you do it cheerfully. Hallelujah. For God loves, takes pleasure in, prizes above all other things, and is unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful, prompt to do it giver, whose heart is in his giving. And God is able to make all grace. This meant so much to me when Ken and I were believing for food on the table and a car to drive and a house to live in, that God is able. I knew we weren't able to do it on our own. God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance so that you may always, hallelujah, and under all circumstances and whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. I'm going to pray for you right now. You be quick to receive. Father, I lift up the finances of every person listening. I pray over the gifts, Father, as they've determined in their heart what they're going to give. I ask you, Lord, to look down from heaven and bless them. See, their heart is in their giving. See that they're obedient to you, Lord. And I'm asking you for a flood of good financial blessings to come to them, Lord. Give them the desires of their heart. Increase them. Give them a hundredfold return of this offering today, in the name of Jesus. Now, ministering spirits, in Jesus' name, you go and you get the money to the people of God as they sow their seed today. I am in agreement with you for abundant return. Hallelujah. Now, take hold of it. Ken and Dr. Colbert will be here next week. They will be talking about some very interesting things that you need to hear about how to live strong and how to live long. Hallelujah. I'll see you again soon. And remember that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries or to order a copy of today's broadcast, log on to our website at kcm.org or call us toll-free 800-575-4455. Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you with teaching tools, prayer, and other ministry resources to help you live in faith and victory every day. This is the year of fullness of blessing, a time for you to receive the blessing without measure.